now that you're here. And let's bow our heads in prayer to gracious Father. We're thankful, Lord, that you're here, and we truly believe, Father, that you have come down with a purpose in mind, and as your prophet said, that he's working for one purpose, and that is to help us to understand your presence, to get us into your presence, that we might realize that you have come down to confirm your word. And so, Father, we're asking that you would bring forth that which you have spoken in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, this morning we're going to begin by reading from Ephesians chapter 1. And beginning at verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath, notice past tense, hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath, again it's past tense, chosen us in him before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him. That word is improsine, it means in his presence. Then in love having, that's past tense, predestinated, that's also past tense, us under the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. And that is where it is all focused on right there. Notice the whole thing. We were in him, and the whole thing is focused on him predestinating us under the adoption of children by Jesus Christ according, he says, to the good pleasure of his will. So it all has to do with his will. You know, people say, well, how do I know his will? Just open your Bible. It's all right there. His will is his word. He says, to the praise of his glory, wherein he hath, notice, past tense, he hath already, past tense, accepted, that's past tense, so he hath, past tense, made us accepted in the beloved. He made us accepted in the beloved. You didn't make yourself. It's not what you can do. If I can just get down and on my knees and pray 10 hours a day, like the good old nun, maybe that's not enough, so maybe I'll put some little wires under my knees to make it very painful when I'm on my knees and praying. No, he hath made us accepted in the beloved. You see? To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath already made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have. Now that's present tense. Notice he switches from past tense to present tense. In whom, present tense, we have redemption through his blood. We have, again, present tense, the forgiveness of sins. Not only the sins that you've done in the past, but the sins that you are living in presently, and in the future, when that time comes, it will be present tense, he hath forgiveness for our sins. Present tense. It's an ongoing forgiveness. If you walk in the light as he is in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ is covering you, cleansing you from all sin. Wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having, past tense, made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath, past tense, purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time he might gather together. So who will he be gathering? Or who will do the gathering? It says that he might gather together. See? And how does he do it? Or how does he does it? How does he do it? He comes down with a shout, a message. In whom all things in Christ, both which are in heaven, which are on earth, even in him, in whom we have, past tense, obtained, past tense, an inheritance. So why present tense have and past tense obtained? It's a good question. Why would he say we have, past tense, whom also we have, present tense, obtained, past tense? We have in the present tense already obtained, which is past tense. As I said last week, the farmer must sow the seed into the ground before he can expect a harvest. God already from the foundations of the world hath sown the seed. Now present tense, we might obtain. You understand? Why present tense have and past tense obtain? Because what God planted or sowed before the foundations of the world is what we are now in the process of obtaining and securing for ourselves. Being predestinated, past tense, according to the purpose of him who worketh, past tense, so it is he that is working, all things after the counsel of his own will. So we see it is, worketh is present tense.
So we see that it is Him that's doing it. It's not us doing it. He worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. He worketh. It's not Him that runneth or Him that willeth or Him that worketh. It's God that showeth mercy. Now then notice that all the promises of God are already past tense given to us. But He is here now, present tense, working in us something for the purpose of obtaining what He has already promised. Therefore, why did He, God, come down in this hour? Because the one who gave us the promise is here to confirm the promise. Listen to what Brother Branham said from his sermon, The Presence of God Unrecognized. He said, working for this one purpose, for you to recognize the presence of Jesus Christ, see? If He is present, then why, everything is settled. He made the Word. He is here to confirm it. He proves that He'll confirm it. He's just the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's God. And if we could just recognize that and take a hold of that. You see, we don't emphasize enough His presence among us. And we see here that for one purpose, the messenger, God Himself, came down with a message. And that is, if there is one purpose, and we must say, certainly there is one purpose to the message. Because Brother Branham said there's one purpose. And he said that's for working for this one purpose, that you could recognize that He's here. Because if you do, then you will recognize that God is here to confirm what He promised for this hour. He's here to harvest the seed He sowed before the foundations of the world. And you're that seed. You're the seed that was planted in Him before the foundations of the world. Working for this one purpose, for you to recognize the presence of Jesus Christ. See, if He is present, then why, everything is settled. He made the Word. He's here to confirm it. Then when we read from Ephesians chapter 1, we can see that predestination, and more specifically, our own predestination comes forth from God's own purpose. He said, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him. That's why Jesus could surrender His will. What good is your will? What has it done for you anyway? It's gotten you in trouble. It's His will. It's His good purpose that He planted us in His mind before the foundations of the world. He's already made us accepted in the Beloved. You see? God's own purpose, in which He worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. And the word worketh was translated from the Greek word energio, or the energy of God. So let's read it this way. Being predestinated according to the purpose of Him, He worketh, or He energizes all things after the counsel of His own will. You see, the seed was planted, but now it's energized. The sun has shone upon it. When the great divine light from God, the pillar of fire that came down, when it came into your presence, you recognize His presence, it energized the seed. Hallelujah. And therefore is the expression of the one who is doing the work. Notice, the Greek word energio, or the energy of God, it means to show forth one's self. And therefore is the expression of the one who is doing the work. It is an effectual, fervent effort on the behalf of the one it is directed toward. He's doing the work for you. It is for your benefit and my benefit, as we see in 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 6. And there are diversities of operations. That word is energia, energema, or energies. But it is the same God which worketh all in all. And what is the purpose behind the energies of God being utilized for you and me? Paul tells us in verse 7, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. It's for your benefit. Why does the sun come down? Remember, there had to be deep calling before there's a deep to respond, right? Brother Ram said there had to be an ocean for the fish to swim in before he had a tail to guide him through the waters. You see, there had to be a great sun to quicken before there could be seed to be quickened. So it is for our profit that God came down in this hour. He did not do this for himself. He did it for us, that he might gather us and make us ready for the adoption of sons. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 6, Paul says, faith which worketh by love. And again, this Greek word worketh is the Greek word energio. And it is by this that we see that faith, which is a revelation, is energized by love. You can't see love. Like Brother Brown said, sell me a quart. You can't do it. But notice, it energizes faith. Notice Paul tells us that our faith worketh by love, and the word worketh was translated from the Greek word energio, and it means to energize. Our faith is energized by love. And who is love? God is love. A young man wrote to me some time ago from overseas, having a little bit of problem with his wife. And he said, I thought if God predestinated us, he's given us his Holy Spirit, the evidence of the Holy Spirit, his understanding of the word for the hour. And he said, yet, I don't understand how then we could make a mistake in choosing the wrong mate. And I said, well, perhaps it's because people don't understand what love is. And then he shared a quote. He said, well, Brother Branham said, you know, that you really have to be in love with one another. And I said, but you have to understand what love is. It's not emotion. You want to know what love is? Read 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Love is kind. Love is gentle. Love puffeth not up. Love does not keep a record of wrongs. You see, that's what love is. Love is not some hormones raging. Love is gentle. Love is kind. Love is all these things that God says it is. And if you have those, then you have love. And faith worketh by love. And 1 Thessalonians 2:13, for this cause also we thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, when you heard of it, of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh, or effectually is energized also in you that believe. There's that word worketh again. Now from wisdom versus faith, Brother Bram said, the disciples had it sowed into them. Then the Spirit come to energize the word. Remember, Brother Branham said, it all begins with mental faith. You receive the word here in your mind. But then God anoints that word. It drops into your soul. And the Holy Spirit comes along and anoints it. And it becomes a dynamic revelation. Dynamic faith. Well, here he says the disciple had it sowed into them. Then the Spirit came to energize the word. You see, not by power, not by might, not by wisdom, not by understanding, not by this, not by that, but by my Spirit I will energize my word. By my Spirit, says the Lord, it is the water of the word of faith that energizes the word of God and makes it work. See, the water of the word of faith that energizes the word of God and makes it work. That's why we said you've got to plant first into your mind the word. Read every scripture you can. If you need a promise from God, look it up. God is here to bring to pass those, like Brother Brown said, he's working for one purpose, that you might recognize the presence. And if he's here, then everything's settled. He gave the word, he's here to confirm it. So water it by the washing of water by the word, and it'll energize that seed and bring it to pass. Now, last week we spoke on how to sow the word into good ground and then water it. And I want to show you this week how that the word is energized just as when we sow a seed into the ground and water it. The sun warms the ground, the seed that has been sown in, and then energizes the life that is in the seed. That's why Brother Bram said you can take a pup, you know, a little puppy dog, and you can put the eggs from the chicken, if they're fertile, You can put them under the pup and it'll come because it's the atmosphere. You see? From the message, "Hear ye him," he said, that's the reason. He could smile here. Jesus had carried out every word of that. That's it. He carried out just exactly to the word. Now, because he was that perfect son. And he is the same, and he died to become the vine, that we might become the branches. That he can energize us with his life to make the same life that he had living in us. Then we'll do the same thing. Jesus says so in John 14 and 12. "He that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also." And from door to the heart, he said, he's the vine. He has no lips but ours, no eyes but ours to operate here on earth. His Holy Spirit is here to energize his branches to do the same thing. So what's the presence all about? God energizing his promises in you. And remember, there is a promised bride for this hour. There's a promise of a catching away. There's a promise of a change of the body. And he's here to energize that. It's already been promised. They're already planted. God planted it in his mind before the foundation of the world. He spoke it. And now we take that word and water it. And watch the Holy Spirit, his presence come. And bring into manifestation those seeds of God which are planted before the foundations of the world. From Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, Brother Branham says, St. John 15, he said, "I am the vine, ye are the branches." He said that about his church. He's going away and be the vine, and we be the branch. Now, the vine does not bear fruit. The vine always energizes the branch, and the branch bears fruit. That's right. Notice, if the vine cannot bear fruit, it's depending on its branches. And the branches cannot bear fruit until it is energized by the vine. Then if you people out here see a pumpkin vine, that pumpkin vine will bear pumpkins if the life of the pumpkin is in the vine. If it's a watermelon vine, it'll bear watermelons if it's got watermelon life in it. If it's got a grapevine, it'll bear grapes because the life of grapes is in the vine. And it'll energize the branches and they will bear the grapes. Also from Jesus Christ the same, he said, "Lord God, I'm just so thankful to have the opportunity to say to hundreds of believers here tonight that your great presence has never left us. You're still the Spirit that moves through our bodies and performs your works. And the church is moving on. I pray, God, tonight that you'll energize every person here with your presence. As you will come into our midst, Lord Jesus, and do that, just what you did before the death, burial, and resurrection." And from the message, faith, Brother Branham said, Jesus said, "These things that I do shall ye also, you do also." Then is God's sworn covenant true? Is his sworn covenant true? Then what we got to be worried about? Jesus is here. His Spirit is here. And what happened just now? I went into another world. It's an unseen world. We become so conscious of looking at one another like this, but there's an unseen world. And you, it's greater than anything. And here's Christ. And in this world, in this building here, are evil spirits in war. And Christians anointed and the angels of God encamped about them, trying to energize them with faith. And here I am standing here just yielding myself and the Holy Spirit's moving. And this is what you all call heavenly places in Christ Jesus. But remember, Satan always, whenever the presence of the sons of God come together, that's, you can find Satan too. You know, he always does that. Someone with a skeptic idea, when they do that, he just trying to interfere, but Christians always overcome. And from the arrow of God's deliverance, Brother Branham said, why? The reason Moses failed in the first place, well, here's what's the matter. It was the lack of having what the burning bush had. That's right. And what's our failure today? Is lack of having what the Holy Spirit has. And the Holy Spirit has all good things for us. If we receive the Holy Spirit, then all things are possible, not only possible, but promised to us. Jesus said, ask the Father my name, it'll be done. If you do anything, if you abide in me, my word abides in you, ask what you will, it'll be given to you. See, when we stop into the light, when we step into the light of God's word, with the unction of the Holy Spirit to shine the light on it, brother, the impossible becomes little things then. God asks us to believe his word. He sends the Holy Spirit to energize that word when he falls into it. When the word's being preached and the Holy Spirit brings the word, he energizes that and flashes the same light of God's blessed promise. God said, I have remembered my promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and I'm sending you down there to do it. See? Then when God's word, his promise, becomes enlightened by the presence of the angel of the Lord, stop Moses now, he's on his road. And God always keeps his promise. Now, we have a problem as the children of God. We don't believe God's promise. We say, how do I know it's the will of God? Open your Bibles. Did Jesus say, ask the Father anything in my name, and I'll do it? If ye abide in me, and my word abides in you, ask what you will. Ask what you will, and it shall be done. The problem is, oh, if it be thy will, O God. Listen, don't ask him for anything until you know his will. And when you know his will, and then you can ask, because if my word be in you, you see, if you abide in my word and my word abides in you, then ask what you will. Why? Because you will ask what is his will. You won't say, if it be thy will. You say, Lord, I know it's your will to heal me. By your stripes I'm already healed. Devil, depart. You say, I have a right to the token for my family. It was given to me. God himself came down with a message to deliver me the token in this hour. I'm not going to look at the circumstances. Job didn't look at the circumstances. He applied the token. Those kids were a bunch of renegades. Up partying all day long, all night long. 7 days in a row, party, 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 and they all died. But Job said, I've got a token. I've been applying it. And Brother Branham said, where were those kids? He got them back. Where were they? God had kept them in heaven for him. You either believe God or you don't believe God. If you believe me, if you abide in me, in my word, because I am the word, and my word abides in you, then ask, just ask, whatsoever you will. Because your will is his will. It'll be given. Don't doubt. We live so far below our privilege as sons and daughters of God. Oh, you say, I don't want to put God to the test. You're not putting God to the test. You're proving his word to be the same yesterday, today, and forever. Look, if I give you a bicycle, Nick, say, Merry Christmas, here's a bicycle. You say, well, how do I know it's going to work? Get on it. Pedal it. Use it. That's what gifts are for, is to be used, obtained, secured by you. He sends his Holy Spirit to energize the word he's already promised to us. From fundamental foundation of faith, Brother Branham said, and we pray, Father, that you'll energize us tonight with your holy presence. From fundamental foundation of faith, he also says, many of you ministers here, you wouldn't want to say that you just spit out a sermon and stood there or popped it off. You want to say it come from inspiration. I believe it, certainly. Well, it has come from the Holy Spirit that energizes you to speak that message. It isn't. If it isn't, you'll never be successful. This is Charles Finney and so forth, a man who copied their sermons out. And when he got up there and preached with the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, the same sermon he preached that night, the night before, hundreds brought to the altar. See, there's such a difference. It's got to be inspired. The Holy Spirit's got to unctionize in it, in that thing. So is it with healing. There's got to be something that takes place through a divine gift that'll energize the people with the Holy Spirit to believe. And from going beyond the camp, Brother Branham said, now we find out that he dwelt then among his prophets. He then becomes a stranger to them, for he dwells only in his word to confirm it. The Bible said that he watches over his word to confirm it. He's trying to find someone. If he can just get a half-hearted man like Samson, Samson surrendered his strength to God, but he gave his heart to Delilah. That's the way many times we do today. Just give something to God, but not all. But God wants all of us. And from perseverance, he said, come, Lord, and vindicate this. That I told you the truth. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. You are the Word. You was the Word that was in Noah. You are the Word that was in Moses. You was the Word that was in Elijah. You was the Word that was in David. You are the Word made flesh and is among us tonight. You're here to vindicate every promise that you made for this hour. As it was in the days of Sodom, all these promises that you made, you're here to confirm it. Grant it tonight, Father. We'll watch to see you here. And then may the church reach up by faith and take a hold and say, I'm perseverant, Lord. I'll stay right here like the unjust judge, like that widow had a hold of. And if that unjust judge, to get rid of that woman, gave her her desire, how much more will the Heavenly Father give those that He's expecting to hold on to Him tonight? Grant it. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. He's here to release our desires that we have in Him. That's what He said. Our desires. One place Brother Branham says, in fact, he says it several places, but speaking of what Jesus said, if you ask what you will, it'll be done. If you ask what you will, it'll be done. If you abide in me and my word abides in you, ask what you will and it'll be done. So you see, it is by the foreknowledge of Him that we are given life to live out the very nature of the Father and in fact are given access to the Father as well. And so we can see how that the word transforms the individual from a lifeless zombie-like creature with no hope of any future to one that is moved and motivated by the very nature of God in him, in their own being. In Acts 17:28, it says, for in him we live and move and have our beings. As certain also of your poets have said, for we are also his offspring. And that tells you that because you are his seed or his offspring, you therefore live and you move as he would live and he would move. For he is the one that energizes you. And Romans 7 and verse 5, for when we were in the flesh, the motions of sins which were by the law did work. That Greek word work is energy or energize. While we were in the flesh, the motions of sin, the unbelief that were in us by, in the law, did work, did energize our flesh in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead, wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. So I ask you this morning, what is energizing you? The flesh or the promise of God for this hour? The presence of the Holy Spirit to quicken in you what He promised He was here to do. The fact that unless God places His own word into our soul, we will remain lifeless and without hope. Thus then the word is an energy that feeds our soul with strength and life itself. In 1 Thessalonians 2, in verse 13, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God which ye heard from us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as is the truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. God energizes that word in you that believe. And from contending for the faith, Brother Bram said, He is the same Lord Jesus. You notice in His ministry, He only raised three from the dead, and His ministry during His ministry here on earth, He raised up Jairus' daughter, the woman's son that was buried, and Lazarus. Three is confirmation. He could have done more. And if the Father would have showed him, now let us be reverent and let us take the right attitude towards the Lord Jesus. For be it assured that your attitude toward any divine gift will determine what results you get from it. And let me just say this, God raised up more dead in this hour, I think it was seven, in this hour through Brother Branham's ministry. Seven is completion, but God raised up seven, 2.5 times more than He did the first time that He presented Himself in manifested flesh to His Son, Jesus. On James 5:16, confess your faults one to another and pray one for the other that ye may be healed. For the effectual, that means the energized, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. O God, if it be Thy will, you just nullified your prayer right there. The effectual, fervent prayer, the energized prayer of a righteous man availeth little. Is that what it said? Little? It says, availeth much. And what then energizes your prayer for one another? Remember, love is the energy of God. and it is by love that your prayers are energized with the power of God behind them. From expectations, Brother Branham said, I just want to talk to the lady just a moment, and then that's going to be up to you, whatever you think about it. Now, you'll have to know it's supernatural. I'm sad to say some of you don't believe it, but it's so anyhow, see? Now, you can't hide yourself now, see? He's done anointed me now, see? But that's right. But you'll see then, it's your attitude toward it will determine your destination. It's the attitude you take. Is your attitude energized or is it just lethargic? Ephesians 3 and 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask and think, according to the power that worketh in us, that energizes in us. Romans 7 and 5. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sin which were by the law did work in our members to bring forth the fruit of death. Again, what's motivating you? Sin unto death? Energizing you to do the fruits of the flesh? Or the Holy Spirit in his presence to quicken the promises for the hour? 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 6, and there are diversities of operations, energies, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. The same electricity that turns on that light, turns on the fan, turns on this light, runs through this microphone, runs through this microphone, runs through the computer here, runs through the heaters in the system here. There are diversities of operations, different lights, different fans. But it's the same God which worketh all in all. Different ministrations. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. Husbands, housewives, farmers, mechanics. Galatians 5 and 6. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. And Ephesians 1:11. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who energizes all things after the counsel of his own will. So he's here to energize, brother, sister. Plug in. The great energizer. He's here. From who is this Melchizedek, Brother Bram says, see, that throws your body subject. You don't have to say, oh, if I could just quit drinking, if I could just get in Christ, it's all gone, see? Because your body is subject to the Spirit. It's no more subject to the things of the world. They're dead. They are dead. Your sins are buried in baptism. And you are a new creation in Christ, and your body's becoming subject to the Spirit. Try to live a right kind of life. Now, last week we spoke on knowing the will of God in our lives by seeing and recognizing His will in His Word. And when we pray, once knowing and understanding the will of God for us, then our prayers become energized. There has to be certain energies behind our prayer. And we know according to 1 Thessalonians 1 that the thing that energizes our prayer or our faith is love. There's nothing like love to build up energy within a young man or woman. Just look at what it'll do for them. They could be as lazy and discourteous as you could ever meet. But let them fall in love one time and they begin to do things that they never even thought that they would do. They clean themselves up. They exercise to lose the fat. They will even tone their bodies to look better. If the one that they are in love with goes to church and they've never gone to church before, they will start going to church with that girlfriend or boyfriend just to be with them. They're energized, you see, by love. And that's how the Lord got a hold of Brother Branham, was through Hope, his girlfriend and eventual wife. God had spoken to him several times before through visions and even face to face through the whirlwind and the tree, but it didn't get his attention like it did through the woman, through his wife. Not as much as when he tried to impress the girl. When he didn't care less, or when men who don't care less what their hair looks like, before they meet her, they begin to cut it and wash it and groom it, even take the time to brush their teeth and comb their hair. And they'll buy new clothes, put on breath mints in their mouth, and well, you name it. Just trying to try new things to make their appearance better. Let the love bug bite once, and those energies build and build and build, and begin to put into action the old dead weight. So we see that love is a great energy force. As we see in 1 Corinthians 13 and 13, and now abideth faith, hope, and love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. Paul says here that when it is all said and done, there remains three things. Faith, which is revelation. Hope, which is an earnest expectation. And love, which is an outward expression of that revelation and expectation. Revelation begins the energy cycle. It's the flipping of the switch. With the earnest expectation begins the building of the energies. And finally, love is the outward expression of what that revelation is all about. Just change this. A young man gets a revelation of the one he's to marry. He begins to build up an expectation. That expectation builds up an energy and moves forward into an outward expression. Peter said finally, 1 Peter 3 and 8, finally, be all of one mind, having compassion one for another, and love as brethren. Be pitiful, be courteous. People that, a woman that would call the man that she says she loves a turkey, there's no love there. Love is courteous. It's not disrespectful. From the exploits of faith, if we be in God, then we're energized by His Spirit. Then my hands become His hands. My mouth becomes His mouth. From 1 John 3, verse 13, marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. If we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's goods and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, he didn't say, you know, if we ask, you know, in this little block of things, it's okay. But he said, whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of the Son of God and love one another as he gave us commandment. Two things, believe in him and love one another. Brother Bram said, if that person has only one thing, and that is that he believes the Lord Jesus Christ, he worships the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, he's your brother. John says here, if a man hates his brother, the love of God's not in him. Got to watch your attitude. Love is compassionate. Love is not critical. Having compassion one for another, love as brethren. Be pitiful and be courteous. From works that I do, bear witness of me. Brother Brown said, after all, I'd rather have love of God seal in my heart than all the gifts there is in the Bible. Well, that's the gifts of teaching too. That's the gift. That's the fivefold ministry. I'd rather have love of God than the fivefold ministry. I'd rather have the love of God than to be able to discern the hearts of people. That great gift we saw in this hour. I'd rather have the love of God sealed in my heart than all the gifts there is in the Bible. Than all the gifts. Can you imagine that? If you had all the gifts, what a superman you'd be. And I'd rather have the love of God sealed in my heart than that. He said, where I think Pentecost failed, he said, when you've really been sealed by the Holy Spirit, love divine follows you. We saw last night in our study that Jesus prophesied, because iniquity would abound, the love of many would die out. That's the problem. You're focused on the iniquity that's abounding. That's what's causing the love of God to die out in the people. They don't have that great love they need to have. And Brother Brown said, without that perfect love, you won't go there. For only perfect love will enter into that place. See, we need to get our focus straight. When it comes right down to it, when Brother Brown preached during the seventh seal, I believe it was that sermon. I could be mistaken, but I think it was during that sermon. They said, well, Brother Branham, I think his question and answers. They said, what do we do? He said, just live a good, godly Christian life. Just live a good, godly Christian life. When you hear some of the names that Brother Branham said that they would be there, men who are vile, men who are mean, And you say, how could they be there? The prophet said they would. You see, God has more mercy than you want to accept. Accept His mercy, then you can give mercy to others. If you find yourself being short and critical, it's because you haven't received God's mercy for yourself. You think your stand is because of what you've done, not what He's done. From believest thou this, he said, used to be a long time ago when the neighbor got sick or something, we went over and cut his corn, cut him some wood. If it was wintertime, and today the neighbor can die and you don't even know it till you read about it in the paper. That's right. No friendship among one another anymore. That's awful. Love. Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold, Jesus said in Matthew 24. From questions and answers, he said, I remember years ago, you always heard them talk about the sawdust trails and things in the tabernacle. That didn't make it anymore, not a bit more. But then it was fresh. God was calling His church. I see them sob and cry at the altar and lay at the altar night after night, or all night long, excuse me. I went to their houses and you could hear them when you come up, just in their bedchamber, men and women crying, oh God. You see them walking through the church and I'd see the piano start playing. Just keep me near the cross and the tears flowing down, you know. And then Brother Bram sniffles. And walk into the church, then walk down to another church and hear them there. And there's a precious fountain. Oh God, save my boy, save my daughter. She's lost, Lord. Please. You don't find that no more. What's the matter? The Spirit of God withdrew. Jesus said, He predicted this, that the love would fail. That's because iniquity would abound. The love of many would fail. See, it would grow cold. It would go away. The love is dying away. And what they got is just a form. And when you can't get excited when somebody comes to the truth because you're expecting them to only stay for a little while, there's something wrong. There's something wrong when men who claim to believe the presence of Christ would ask you the question, do you think what you're doing is doing any good? You think there's anyone that you've preached to out there that it's really changed? That they really get it? And I want to say, you know, I think they get it better than you get it. Because they've got a love in their heart for this word. It's really, really, really sad, brothers and sisters. People who have followed this revelation for 20 some years, maybe 30, and would ask you if you think that all these places you're going, all these people you're talking to, you think there's even one of them? Or they'll say it in a different word. They'll say, well, even if there's just one that gets it, brother, there's more than one that's just getting it, or God wouldn't be sending me to all these different places. Don't think that you're the one that got it. Because the one in the 11th hour got just as good a wage as the one who worked all day long. And you know what? For the amount of time that they had it, they got paid a lot more percentage-wise. You understand what I'm saying? Now, we're talking about what energizes a person, and we have shown you that it is love. Love for a new car might energize a man to go to work to pay for it. Love for things causes people to work all kinds of jobs and hours in order to have those things. And what we just heard Brother Bram say is that there used to be love for one another in our lives, but that love is dying out. Our love for one another has been replaced with a love for things. That's the influence of Laodicea upon the people, whether they're aware of it or not. And the real source of love, pure love, unselfish love, unfeigned love, is God. For God is love. And the reason that love of brethren is leaving the people is that the love of God is leaving the people. He's beginning to pull back. He's beginning to lift up from the earth. Notice he said there used to be such a love for God that people would cry out to God day and night for their loved ones. There used to be so much love that we had for God that we just loved to be around one another. Anytime we had off from work, we don't want to get together. Today we're so preoccupied by things, bills and paying bills. Why? Why are you paying bills? Because you got things. Holding on to things instead of holding on to one another and holding on to God. And let me ask you something. With all your things, are you happy? Are you fulfilled? When were you the happiest? I'll tell you when. When you had one another. You're just excited to be with one another. That's when you were happiest in life. You didn't have a lot of things, but you had each other. And you had this word. I'll never forget that dream I had. And I know we can't go by dreams, but I was looking for the greatest treasure on earth. I was with, I believe it was Brother Vail. We walked across this kind of a barren land and came over this hill and we came down to a small little foundation standing up about 18 inches high. And the first one we came to was about, I think it was 20 by 20. And there was a door over here. We stepped in the door and we had directions to take 20 paces from that door. And I said, Brother Vail, do you think we should go across and then to the left? Because there's another door over there. He said, no, I think we should go straight. And so we walked 20 paces straight. And as we did, we passed through that building and actually came down a small hill and came to another foundation, 12 by 12. And we looked around. There wasn't any, we couldn't see any doors in the 12 by 12, but there was a small hole on the side of the foundation. And you could see that there is something underneath, like a basement. And I put my head down inside the hole to look in there, and I saw a family sitting at a table. And there was a whole wall of these books. It looked like the red volumes that Perry Green used to put out of Brother Branham's sermons. They're all Brother Branham's sermons. And I looked in there, and here was a family huddled around the table, reading from one of those books with just a candle. And something spoke and said, this is the greatest treasure in the earth. I remember the great joy when I didn't have anything. Levon knows we got married. We didn't have much. I think we had in the had a bag, a 100-pound bag of potatoes, and half of them were rotten. And we had a bag of rice that she tried to cook up, and they were so old that, you know, they were still as hard after she cooked them as they were before. That's what we had when I got married. Didn't have much, but we had each other. And we had fellowship. And every night, we could afford maybe one can of pop to split. And we have company every night. You remember those days, Ron? Every night we had company. Somebody come by, we'd go for a walk together, just to talk. We'd split one can of pop because that's all we could afford. And we were happy. Content. So contentment doesn't come from things. It comes from fellowship. Notice that there used to be such a love that, for God that people would cry out to God day and night for their loved ones. But we don't see that anymore. He said years ago, it was fresh. God was calling His church. I seen them sob and cry and lay at the altar all night long. I went to their houses and you could hear them when you come up just in their bedchambers, men and women crying, oh God. You see them walk through the church. I see the piano start playing. Just keep me near the cross. And the tears flowing down there as Brother Branham sniffled. Walking to this church then walk down to another church and hear them singing, there's a precious fountain. Oh God, save my boy, save my daughter. She's lost, Lord Jesus. Please. And you don't find that no more. What's the matter? The Spirit of God is withdrawn. Used to be we could sit up till 2 in the morning talking the word. Just to be with one another to talk about what God is doing. Where is that today? From questions and answers, he said, you don't find that no more. What's the matter? The Spirit of God is withdrawn. Jesus said, he predicted this, that the love of that the love would fail. Because iniquity would abound, the love of many would fail. See? It would grow cold and it would go away. The love is dying away. And what they got is just a form. from thirsting for life. He said, oh God, if we have to take every miracle out of the church, if we have to take all the pipe organs and put in the plush pews and give us back that godly love, brotherly love amongst the people and fellowship, if we have to do that all, take it all back to that again. Life, oh, life. And from He cares, do you care? You know, the Bible speaks that there'd be no love in the last days, just amongst the elect people. That's right, the Scripture speaks of that. That the husband would be against wife, and the wife against husband, children against parents. Just among the elected of the Lord will there be any love left. And when you see even amongst the elect, husband against wife, wife against husband, wife against children, what's the matter? The world is creeping. What's the matter with getting out your Bible? Not you'll do it because I say you'll do it. I'm your mother. I'm your father. No. The Lord Jesus said, do this or do that. Get out your Bibles. Who's the absolute? You or the Lord Jesus Christ, His Word? Where is our focus as? Are we sons and daughters? Are we manifested sons? I absolutely don't believe it. Until every thought we have is His Word. As Brother Branham said to Brother Vail, all my thoughts are of God. First Thessalonians 1 and 3, remembering without ceasing your work produced and characterized by the faith which is yours. And your labor of love, your labor which is characterized and put forth and energized by the love which is yours. Now notice, Paul says, works of faith and labor of love and patience of hope. Now we all know the word of means out from or having a source from, and therefore we can read these words that Paul says, works which springs forth or spring out from the faith, the revelation which is yours. And your labor which comes forth as a result of your love. It is the love which produces it. Love then is the energizing power. Faith worketh by love. Well, one more and we'll close. From wisdom versus faith, Brother Ramsey, the disciples had it sowed unto them. Then the Spirit came to energize the word. Not by power, not by might, not by wisdom, not by understanding, but by this. Not by that, but by my Spirit I will energize my word. By my Spirit, saith the Lord. It's the water of the word of faith that energizes the word of God and makes it work. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, 1 Corinthians 12 and 1. I would not have you be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away unto the dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but it is the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but it is the same Lord. It is for yours and my benefit, as we see in verse 6. And there are diversities of operations or energies, but it is the same God which energizes all in all. And what is the purpose behind the energies of God utilized for you and me? But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. It is for our benefit. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all of these worketh or are energized, that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as He will. In other words, God is all in all. Philippians 2 and 13, for it is God that worketh or energizes in you both to will and to do His good pleasure. Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your word. We thank You for Your love. We pray, Father, that this great depression that is coming on, I can see in my heart that it's needful. Because when the people have and are possessed by things, and they put things before Your word, then we realize at that point the love of God is withdrawn. So Father, take the things. If that's the only way that you can restore our love. But we ask this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Before we are dismissed,